Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word for our meditation this morning is found in the Gospel of Mark, selected verses from the 7th chapter. Now, when the Pharisees gathered to him with some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem, they saw that some of his disciples ate with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands properly, holding to the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other traditions that they observe, such as the washing of cups and pots and copper vessels and dining couches. And the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" And he said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men." He called the people to him again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him, but the things that come out of a person are what defile him. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." So far the text. Jesus' name, dear fellow redeemed. You paid a visit to your doctor lately? If so, probably one of the things that happened after checking in at the front desk and sitting patiently in the waiting room for a while is that a physician's assistant may have entered the room and wrapped a monitor around your arm to get a reading on your blood pressure and your heart rate. Perhaps an oximeter was clipped onto your finger to obtain an oxygen level reading. All because your doctor is concerned to know how your heart's doing. The health of your heart, of course, is very important so that blood can get circulated to your organs and the organs can work properly, and so you'll have energy and zip to perform life's daily tasks. You might wonder what this has to do with our text and the episode that the evangelist Mark records from Jesus' ministry. Well, it's a text that calls our attention to the importance of cardio fitness. No, not in a physical sense, but your spiritual cardio fitness, how your heart and your attitude is towards God and your fellow man. And this morning, we want to give attention to this important subject under the theme, "In what condition is your heart? By nature, unclean, weak, and sick. Only Jesus can, and already has, blessed you with a heart that is clean, healthy, and strong." Now, this incident from the Savior's ministry is actually one of several when Jewish religious leaders would confront him with various criticisms. You may recall on one occasion they got upset with Jesus. He was up at Capernaum after he healed the paralyzed man, and before that he forgave his sins. And they questioned, "You can't forgive sins. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Another occasion, they looked sideways at the Lord for associating with the riffraff, tax collectors and the sinners. And on still another, they charged him with breaking the Sabbath day laws by letting his disciples pluck heads of grain from the fields when they got hungry on a Sabbath day, and healing a man who had a withered hand. How can you let your disciples do that? And how can, in our text, they said this action that they called to Jesus to account for was letting them sit down and eat without washing their hands and breaking tradition with the elders. Why, Jesus, are you sanctioning such disgusting behavior, letting your disciples sit down without washing themselves, as all good Jews do? You know, there was a ceremonial law God gave his Old Testament people where he did instruct the priests to wash their hands before entering the tabernacle to carry on their priestly duties. And there were other so-called ceremonial laws God had prescribed for his people, like regarding religious festivals they were to observe, like the Passover, foods that were clean, that they were free to eat, and unclean foods they were forbidden to consume, all of which the Lord gave to his people as a way to help them to keep in mind that he was separating them from all the other nations of the world and reminding them, you're the ones from which I have chosen to, in the fullness of time, fulfill my promise of a Savior. These religious ceremonial laws about the Sabbath, by the way, might mention, you know, what was the picture behind them doing no manual labor? That was a picture on Saturday. It was a picture of the perfect rest for the soul the coming one would provide. And when they were forbidden to eat certain kinds of unclean foods and to stick with clean foods and all those various ritual washings recorded in the book of Leviticus were a picture of that cleansing for their souls that the coming one would eventually provide for them and all people. But over the years, the underlying purpose of these ceremonial laws was forgotten. The promise of a Savior was disregarded, and the religious leaders taught the people that the way to get to heaven was by outward compliance, outward keeping of ceremonial laws and the moral precepts of the Ten Commandments. And rabbis had even developed hundreds of add-on rituals God hadn't even prescribed, which they also made mandatory for all good Jews to do. Mark mentioned several of them here in our text, verse 4. The washing of cups, pitchers, kettles, dining couches they bought at the marketplace. You never know, they might come into the contact with an unclean Gentile. Washing their hands when they return home from the market before sitting down to eat. Rituals that they considered and taught matters of conscience. If you don't do these things, you're sinning, and God's going to hold you accountable someday. And if you do them, well, you've punched your ticket right into heaven. All the while neglecting, as Jesus in another place, when he spoke to these same Pharisees and scribes, the weightier matters of the law, like being kind to others, being merciful, considerate, compassionate, being a faithful father and mother. Jesus pointed out in our text the hypocrisy of their criticisms. Just as the people living back in Isaiah's time were kind of going through the motions of their worship, honoring God with their lips, but their hearts were far away from him. Love was lacking. Faith was absent. The promise of a Savior not even on the radar of their life. Again, outward, mechanical obedience was deemed the important thing, including keeping the commandments and rituals that God hadn't even prescribed. You're doing the same thing, he was telling them. So we see how Jesus, as the loving heavenly physician and Savior, was diagnosing for them that they had a very serious spiritual heart problem, and he was bidding them to look to him in faith and repentance. Trust in me, the only one who can perform for you a spiritual heart transplant, or as we sing, who can create in us clean and healthy hearts. It's good, friends, to have Jesus remind us Christians of these things too, because we know that by nature our hearts are also sick and unclean from the time our mothers conceived us, from our birthdays. We were infected with the original sin disease. God, of course, created the first people, Adam and Eve, in his holy image with perfectly clean, spiritually strong hearts. But when they fell, they lost God's image. And all people, ever since, are born in Adam's sin-corrupted image and are disposed, as Jesus made clear in our text, to all the gamut of sins against the Ten Commandments, like evil thoughts and sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. And as he said, it's these evils that come from within are what defiles a person before God, not the failure to wash your hands before you sit down to have a bite to eat. Important takeaway from this text is that, good reminder, again, when it comes to God-pleasing living, that we Christians keep in mind that what the Lord yearns to see in us are actions and attitudes that always flow from hearts of faith and love for Him and for our fellow man. Not just that we simply do the right thing, but that we do the right thing for the right reason. God's love for us in Christ and our love for Him. There was a theologian of the past, his name was William Barclay, offered a pertinent comment on this subject. He said, "There's no greater religious peril than the peril of identifying religion with outward observance. Church going, Bible reading, financial giving, daily praying do not make a good man. The fundamental question is, how is a person's heart towards God and towards his fellow men? If in his heart there are bitterness and grudges and pride, not all the outward religious observances in the world will make anything other than a hypocrite." So are you ready for some uplifting and inspiring news, encouraging and comforting words? Here they are. Jesus can, and in fact already has, blessed you with a heart that's healthy, strong, and clean. Just as He in mercy healed that man with a withered hand and made him healthy and strong physically, so He has blessed us, whose hearts were all withered by nature, with top-notch cardio fitness spiritually. How? You know, as your beloved Savior and heavenly physician, He died on the cross to atone for your sins. As we sing in one of our Lenten hymns, there's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. And then Jesus arose from the dead to verify that His blood has, in truth, purified us of every sin stain, disinfected our souls from all guilt germs and sin soil. We have been justified, that is, declared righteous. And He sent His Holy Spirit through the Word and continues to do it daily to work repentance in our hearts and continues to use that Word to safeguard and protect our faith and to help us retain our spiritual health, blessing us with a desire as Christians and children of God to live our lives for Him out of love, out of gratitude for His mercies, doing all those things mentioned before: church going, Bible reading, financial giving, praying, being kind to others, being faithful parents, obedient children, loving selfless husbands, loving respectful wives. Tomorrow's Labor Day. Laboring conscientiously at our jobs for our employer, doing the best we can. Walking cheerfully in the way of God's commandments out of love for him and our fellow men. And that's what makes the works delightful in his sight. He takes note of them, and he's going to commend you for them on the day of his return, saying to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord." The author of Revelation, St. John, says that our works follow us into heaven. In other words, they'll be remembered on the day of judgment, and the Lord is going to cite them as evidence that we truly believed in him and in him alone for our salvation. Also provided us, can be mindful of the Ephesians reading, with the tools we need to retain good cardio fitness, spiritually speaking. St. Paul, there in that reading, listed them for us, encouraging us to make faithful use of them. Be strong, not in your strength, but in the Lord and the strength of his might. Take up the helmet of salvation. So be reminded, I'm a saved, redeemed child of God from day to day. Breastplate of righteousness. I'm covered with Jesus' righteousness by faith. The belt of truth. The footgear of the gospel of peace. The assurance my sins are all forgiven. The shield of faith, Holy Spirit given, and the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word. Take those up faithfully. You're safe and secure. The Lord will continue to bless you with a healthy and a strong heart spiritually. One concluding thought for added encouragement in your walk of faith. Keep in mind, no matter what the condition of your physical heart is, and though it may grow weak with age, not beat as strongly as it once did, maybe causing you to be a little breathless sometimes, feeling faint, one day your heart, your physical heart, will fall silent and stop ticking altogether. Your spiritual heart in Christ that he has given to you will retain always its strength. He's promised you that in many Bible passages. Psalm 73 in our responsive lesson, "My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. You, Lord, will hold me by my right hand, and you'll guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will receive me into glory." Psalm 27, "The Lord is the stronghold of my life. When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who will stumble and fall. He will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble, concealing me under the cover of his tent and lift me high on a rock. And I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord finally in the land of the living," heaven. So let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. And one other from Isaiah, beautiful golden verse. Isaiah 40, "The creator of the ends of the earth, who does not faint or grow weary, gives power to the faint. To those who have no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not grow faint." So all glory, honor, and praise be to our gracious God for these precious gospel promises, and to his Son, Christ Jesus the Savior, who is God's yes and amen to them all. Amen. And the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold with your Spirit free.